welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It's really great to see all of you again, a lot of familiar faces. A special welcome to all the first years that are here. It's great to see you guys again. I hope that you all brought some friends along. And a special welcome to everyone else as well. Tonight I'm going to speak to you a bit about the works of the Father. And it's just this short space out of time in which Jesus found himself, where he had some conflict with some of the leaders, and just the focus to be on what it is that he was saying in that situation of severity, in a sense. So it's going to make I hope you will follow, understand where I go with this. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide my words. So let's just pray for that. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, which is power, which is life, which is truth. Lord, I pray that your truth will be revealed here tonight. Jesus, may you be revealed here tonight. I pray, Father, that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit on every single one of us, Lord, and that you'll guide my words, my thoughts, and that every ear will receive the word as you ordained it to be received, and every heart to be opened, Lord, for your working, and every person that needs healing to be healed, every person to be set free will be set free. God, because where your name is manifest, there's no bondage, there's no darkness, there's light and life in abundance. I speak it in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. This place where we are in Scripture, is the majority comes out of the book of John. And Jesus is in Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. It's winter time. And he arrived in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, which was autumn. So some space and some time has gone by since he arrived in Jerusalem. And as we know that Jesus appeared many times publicly, giving teachings and revealing who he is bit by bit, and bringing truth, bringing word, and all the time just offending a lot of people, basically. Especially the church folk, the church leaders. And so let's read a scripture out of a portion out of John 10. It's quite a long scripture. But humor me as I just want us all to catch the whole concept of where we are and what Jesus was saying. So let's read together out of John chapter 10, verse 1 to 21. Jesus, I am the good shepherd. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used to them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So then he basically just repeated again, just in more words, so they will understand. So Jesus again said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came, the sheep, that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not this fold, but I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon, he is insane. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Chapter 9, Jesus called the Pharisees blind publicly in front of a lot of people. And in chapter 10, he calls them false shepherds. So I can think that the Jerusalem, that the leaders there, that are not happy with Jesus at the moment. And some tension is rising. And where we are when Jesus has said this, this will actually be the last time where he'll have a discourse with these people and be face to face with them before he will just depart to be with some of his friends and people that follow him. But the conflict between Jesus and these people, it's at its peak. It's at its height. And to elaborate a bit about the scripture, the portion of scripture which you just read, the sheepfold is designed to keep out those who want to harm the sheep. Jesus is the guardian, but he refuses access to many, like the Pharisees. These leaders destroy, but God sent Christ so that those who believe might not be destroyed. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. In Israel, when you were a leader, you were compared, or the analogy was used for shepherd. And Jesus says he is a good shepherd, so that means there must be many false shepherds, like the Pharisees, but we can go to the Old Testament as well, where there were many ungodly kings, where Jesus also referred to them as the false shepherds. We can go to 1 Kings 22:17. And he said, I saw all Israel's cattle on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let each return to his home in peace. And also Jeremiah 10:21. For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of the Lord. Therefore they have not prospered and all their flock is scattered. So it's clear that when we follow a false shepherd, a shepherd that is not from God, we get scattered. We are sent home. We are stupid and we will not prosper. So yet Jesus makes a clear distinction between a good shepherd and a false one. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's the gate. He's the good shepherd. And he's devoted and willing to lay down his life for the sheep, where a hired hand will just flee when he sees a wolf coming. But not only that, Jesus not only willing to lay down his life, he pursues an intimate relationship with his sheep as well, with us. And as we read, he compares it with, as I know the Father, so my sheep know me. Jesus says, as I am in you, so I am in the Father. So the same relationship Jesus had with his Father, which we all know is quite intimate and close in a place of obedience, place of sacrifice, that same place, that same relationship Jesus longs for with us. Jesus says that his sheep hears and knows his voice. So that means when we follow Jesus, when all the other shepherds will come, that we will be able to discern which voice is Jesus's and which one is not. Because there are many false shepherds around us. There are many voices around us. And I know, and I've encountered, and I've been that way as well, where I've said, Lord, I cannot hear your voice. And then we get people to pray for us to hear God's voice, but it's a basic thing of being in relationship, but also just tuning to what we are listening to. And I always like to use an example of radio waves. What we've got, 5 FM here in Pretoria. If you have to listen to it, you have to tune into the correct frequency. You do not see the signal, but there are like many signals coming on. But if you're not tuning in the correct one on your radio, you will not catch that signal. You'll get another station. And the same thing is with Jesus. There's many voices. There's many signals going around. But if we do not fine-tune our ears to the frequency of God, we will not hear his voice. It will be distorted amongst all the other ones. And the same is with the sheep hearing the voice of God, the good shepherd. And here we also see that after Jesus has said this, there was a division. A division in the crowd. But we also see that there's been many divisions previously. At Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, yet the Feast of Dedication. When people grumble in the crowds when after Jesus has said something, where on the one hand you have people believing him, and on the other hand you have people not. And we can see in Scripture in John 6, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. But they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered, do not grumble amongst yourselves. And I know many times when we get exposed to truth or to, we like to call it a hard word, there's also this fight inside of us saying that this one part I believe, but this other part, is, I don't know, this guy's a little radical. Another scripture portion we can read, it says, John 6 and 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying, who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling at this, he said to them, do you take offense at this? The great thing about Jesus is he doesn't think at all the way like we think. His truth is from above. His ways are not known to man. So when he brings word, when he brings commands, when he brings scripture, when he brings truth, of course there will be this thing inside of us trying to fight against this, because as Paul states it, that we are carnal, but we need to, it's this process of becoming spiritual, of becoming holy. So there's this constant battle, this conflict when we are exposed to truth, just as what happened here. So there's no neutral position when we are faced with Christ's revelation and his truth. There's either hostility or there's seeds of faith that will follow. And we constantly need to check ourselves for this, for offense, for hostility. And I don't think there's anyone who's ever been more offended with many people like I have. But if I look back, you know, I've grown out of every single time I've got offended. And I didn't have to approach that person once. God just sorted me out. When we get exposed to the truth of Jesus, we need to move away from the side of hostility and move over to the place of our seeds of faith that needs growing. So after Jesus said this, he then came to this place where he made it clear who he is. So it was Jesus' self-revelation. And now after this, after he says this, he will no longer discuss this course with these Jewish leaders, then he will depart. But he said in John 10, at that time the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one will be able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. So Jesus makes it clear that either you are in his sheepfold or not. And here the leaders became very angry, so they started to pick up stones, ready to stone Jesus. So now we're at this dramatic scene, music playing in the background, this moment of truth, face-off. Where this is a place where Jesus, he can't get killed now. But his response to, while they are picking up the stones, is, I've shown many good works from the Father, for which of them are you going to stone me? So then, of course, they grumble a bit again and say, but because you are blasphemous, we are going to kill you. We are going to stone you. And then Jesus replied, and you can read Matthew, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand the Father is in me and I am in the Father. This is quite a hectic portion of scripture, which really shook my whole week that just passed. Jesus is facing the situation, ready to get stoned. And he says this, so this means it must be something of quite a big importance. But Jesus says, which is strange, he doesn't say, do not kill me because I am the Son of God, because I have all this authority. He says, if I did not do these works, then do not believe me. Jesus validates his ministry, his teachings, his words by the signs and the wonders and the miracles that followed them. He says that even though you do not believe me, believe the works that I do, that you may believe the Father who does it through me. So the signs and wonders are like a catalyst in a sense just to linking people with God, even though if Jesus had to appear here, whether we would recognize him or not, I'm not 100% sure. But then he would say, and we know that no one can ever preach like Jesus did or bring truth like he did, but he would say, believe me because of the works that I've done, the deeds that I've done, if you do not believe my truth. And this shifted something in my own life for me this week. Yes, truth is important. The Bible is important. The Word is important. And we need to know it. We need to know it well. That is why we all need to do Bible school, all 3 years, so that we can get to know the Word better and incorporate it into our lives. But there's something more than the Word. It's something more than just head knowledge of what is written in the Bible. See, the Bible is a spiritual book. So without the Holy Spirit, is there really much power in the book? If signs and wonders do not follow our teachings, does it validate who we are, where we come from? And these are a lot of questions that I've been asking myself and about my priorities. And it was so great. I don't know who my viewers in church this morning, when Short brought the message. And the Holy Spirit just filled this place. And I myself just had this encounter again with the cross. We're in the cross where Jesus died and poured out his blood. All authority, all power, all redemption was given freely, 100%, one shot. And everything else is just behind us. And that song we sang again this morning, Christ is enough. The cross before me, the world behind me. It's just something we just bear in mind that Jesus is everything. And when we come to him, we need to forget about what is behind us. And again, this portion of Scripture really changed a couple of things in my life. Well, I had this urge of there needed to be change. But then I went on further to say, God, but apart from people having to see the Father in us, why else do we need to perform signs? Why do we need to perform wonders? If we need more reason, then I just came up with 5 more. It says that it directs people to give God glory. Our signs and wonders. Matthew 9:8. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to man. People were afraid when the signs and wonders appeared, and then they fell on their faces and they glorified God. But that same authority which they have received, we all have received as well. Through the Holy Spirit. Through salvation. Secondly, it gives God glory. The signs and wonders. Psalm 145 verse 10 says, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. It also affirms who Jesus is, as you just read in that scripture in John. Jesus says, if you do not believe me, believe the works that I've done. It validates the identity of both Jesus and the church. John 3:2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So again, this man was convinced who Jesus was and where he came from because of the signs and the wonders that he's done. Not because of what he said, because of what he's done. Miracles help us to obey God. Romans 15, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. That means we should hunger and say, God, I want testimonies. I want to be used. I want to see signs and wonders done all around me because that is what God has then done through you. It is great to testify of what your brother or your friend has done. It's great. But it's secondhand in a way. God is big enough to use every single one of us in this room mightily to change Pretoria on the edges of the world. Every single one of us has that ability through the Holy Spirit. And this week it really just shook me. It's a thing that, yes, Jesus, I know your word is important, but signs and wonders. You see, signs, they are not an end in itself. It points to a greater reality beyond it. If you are driving on the highway, signs on it confirms whether we are on the right path or not. It directs us to the greater reality, our destination. The exit signs on the doors, we will not exit through the exit sign. It just points us into the greater reality that the exit is there. The same is with signs and wonders. Our knowledge of the Word and Scripture, it can only take us to as far as what we understand it. But there has to be an illustration of the Word. If Jesus says He's the healer, there needs to be an illustration of Jesus' healing. Otherwise, what's the point of reading Jesus is the healer? What would be the point of knowing Jesus is the healer if He doesn't heal all around us? What would be the point? What would be the point of knowing Jesus is our Savior if He doesn't save people? It would make the Bible just a normal storybook. But the Bible is power. It's truth. It says Jesus is the healer. He heals. Jesus is our Savior. He saves. He takes us out of the pits of hell and puts us into eternal life in heaven. So signs and wonders do not follow us, do not validate what we know in our heads. Is it valid, what we know in our heads? I asked these questions and it freaked me out. Pardon my French. And I don't know how doctrinally correct it is. I woke up one morning. I don't know if Michael is here. I woke Michael up and said, "Michael, you need to baptize me." Got up early that morning for work. I got baptized in our swimming pool this week again. Because God just showed me the seriousness of this word. He said that, "Christy, if signs and wonders do not follow what you preach, who will believe you?" Yes, there will be some who believe you. And that just brought me to the place of really making serious this change. And this act of repentance in my life where I had to say, "Jesus, this is the way I've done things till now. It was great. You have been in everything of it. But I want to do things a little bit more biblically. I want to do things a little bit more the way you did it. Not just on missions, but right here in our backyard, on campus, in our offices, in our schools where we teach, in the hospitals. God wants to manifest His glory." Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. See, we need to be at this place where Jesus always was saying who He is, what he's come to do, and then He had to back it up with these signs and miracles. And I was in a similar situation in Sri Lanka last year. In July, we went there, and we went down to this village. And at this specific place, the gospel has never been preached before. So we really knew that, okay, God. In our minds, it was like, okay, this is going to be a tough crowd. But in most ways, it's mostly better that way anyway. So we got to this place, met with the people. They really received us well. And there was about 60 of them. And where I could only do one thing and tell them about Jesus. This is who Jesus is. This is what He's done. This is who Jesus says He is. He's our Savior. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He is everything. And that He died on the cross. He poured out His blood. And He gave us redemption. He gave us the keys of life to take us from eternal damnation to eternal life. Then they accepted Jesus, every single one of them, as the Holy Spirit just revealed Himself to them. But then God said that He wanted to heal them. So then I started telling them about who Jesus says, how He is the healer, how through His stripes we have been healed. Started sharing the miracles that He's done in the Bible, sharing some testimonies, how I've seen Jesus heal. And then I've been in that place where now all 60 of them wanted to receive healing. And then I realized that I can really slam my nom with a plank, so. Hit my name with a plank for the English people. And I said, "Jesus, if you're not gonna heal these people now, everything I've taught them about you, they will perceive as a lie. Because they would. I mean, come on. And then Jesus came and he healed every single person. From things unimaginable, he came and delivered. He came and healed every single person. You know what happened afterwards? There was such a deliverance. There was such a solid foundation laid down in those people's lives because they did not only hear and receive Jesus, but they saw Jesus. They saw his power. They saw and felt his healing and his deliverance. And from that place that night, it just had a massive ripple effect on the whole province, on the province in Sri Lanka, where that whole province got saved because it was all the farm owners, leaders, and people that were there, and every person where they went out got saved on their farms, in their businesses. And it was just this, there's no other word than a revival. But why? Because Jesus' word became manifest. Jesus' miracles, his signs, his wonders, was his own amen on what he preached. If he had to stand in front of all those Pharisees and say, I'm the healer, but there were no people validating that, it would just make the case so much harder. You know, at the end, it didn't really help him, but Jesus, as he said, I have the authority to lay down my life. So Jesus chose to lay down his life. Do signs and wonders follow us? Doctors, teachers, full-time ministry people, no, they don't. It means a physical, practical change we need to do in our lives. I went to campus 2 days or 3 days ago. Driving there, every day I just drive there. I'm excited to meet with all the first years. You guys are great. And all the other students. But I drove to campus this day. I said, God, I want you to give me someone with crutches and a foot in braces, hips. Hallelujah. Parked the car, walked for about 200 meters. Bob's your uncle. Here comes a guy, crutches with his leg and a thing. So then I saw him. I said, okay, God, I didn't see him. And I walked the other way. And I know I could just see God being like, ugh. So really, not being happy with God being, ugh. I saw him going to the steers, meeting them there with some other friends. And then I just briefly approached him. I said, hey bro, do you know Jesus? I just said, do you know Jesus can heal your foot? He says, no, I'm actually a bit skeptical, eh? I said, but have you heard stories? He said, yeah, but I'm a bit skeptical. I said, it's irrelevant if you're skeptical or not. I'm just going to pray for you. And hallelujah, he said, yes. Took him up on the side. He stood there in front of the toilets. And then, now down, prayed for his, and he couldn't put any weight on his foot because it was too painful. Prayed, bam, he could put weight on his foot, like everything. He's like, ah! Oh. His eyes were like, yish. But then I said, okay, this thing here is broken, whatever is broken there. I said, okay, next step, let's take off this brace. Let's take off the brace. But then all of a sudden, I could just see all the doubt just going on his mind again. And he's like, oh, yes, you know. I'm not sure. And I'm like, no, let's take it off. He said, you've got no pain. Like, what's on it? He's like, yes, this is really cool, but I'm not sure if, you know, maybe we shouldn't. And then I wanted to pray again. He said, you know what, I should meet my sister. And then he quickly went away. I doubt he had to meet his sister, but he was just freaked out of it. But God came and he touched him. Why? Because I said, God, I want to pray for someone today. Today I want to be used. Today I don't want to be selfish and just meet with all the awesome people. No. Today I want to have an encounter with someone else. And I promise you, I'm gonna ask God every single time. I'm gonna go into a shop. I'm gonna go on campus. Wherever I'm gonna go, I'm gonna ask God. I'm gonna ask God for people without eyes, without legs. God loves specifics, he really does. But also take whoever he sends. You know, miracles, I wish it would happen, God just coming, zapping out of heaven, healing people. But no. We are His only plan. We are the church. And we need to create an atmosphere of faith where God can move. If I did not take that bra and said, listen, I want to pray for you, then we're not, a miracle could not happen. Only if you become really advanced and we could wear a robe and people touching it, they will get healed. We'll get there. Jesus said we'll do more than that. Can I get an amen? Amen. So guys, this week I've just really been challenged out of my socks through this. And I pray that all of you are challenged as well, because otherwise it's unfair. Exposure to miracles does what? Or it draws us closer to God, or it brings us to repentance. Why do I say that? Let's quickly read three portions of Scripture. Let me just quickly drink some water. Luke 5 verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Jesus multiplied his fishes. We all know the story. The boat could not contain anymore. He fell on his face, said, I'm a sinful man. Please leave me. That's an effect which the signs did. John 15:24. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. So it has an effect on people. Miracles. Good or bad, but we are always at the place where we need to make a decision of whether we are for Christ or against Him. And this is really quite an intense one. In Matthew 11. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Hectic. We all know what happened to Sodom. Got burnt to the ground. Jesus said, there will be more favor on Sodom on the day of judgment than the cities where the works and miracles has been done in, but there were no repentance after that. And I know that is the only reason why the Holy Spirit just laid it so hard in my life to the point of having to get baptized again. Again, I don't know, Dr. Charlie sounded this, but I don't care. I was just obedient to what the Holy Spirit said. I really just made the decision, like, God, I don't want to enter any boarding without having expectation for your kingdom to come down to earth. The word says the kingdom is at hand. It's in our reach. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. No one else is. We are. Are we representing the kingdom of heaven, or are we representing the blow biller or machriki or whatever? What's eternal? What's important? Who are we representing? If we say tonight we are representing the kingdom of heaven, we need to back it up. We need to back it up with what? With signs and wonders. Of truth and the revelation of who Jesus is. It illustrates the word. It illustrates and points us the whole time to who Jesus is and what He has done. And tonight, there's going to be an opportunity, just like the previous service, for people to get healed emotionally or physically. It's going to be just an opportunity that if you do not know this Jesus whom I'm speaking of, or if you're far away from Him, to get reconciled with Him tonight as well. Because he's lavishing all He is, His whole heart, His whole being, out onto this place tonight to meet with all of us. It's not having one eye on the computer screen and one eye here. No, He's like, I want everything. I want all of you, all of who you are. So there's an opportunity for us to be reconciled with Jesus and also to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we do the signs and wonders? It's through the Holy Spirit alone. So we need to be filled with Him. And how are you filled? It's when you live out of a place of overflowing. And that's the only way. See, it's not like we do one miracle and then we have to do 30 push-ups, then we can do the next one. No, it's out of a place of abundance, out of overflowing. And I know God's heart is that everywhere, every single one of us go, signs and wonders will follow us to validate who it is we are as church, to validate who it is we say we believe in. I know we all have family members not saved. We all have colleagues not saved. We have roommates not saved. We know 3,000 people not saved. Why are they not saved? Preaching only helps to a point. It's great. We need it. But Jesus backed up whatever he said with his signs and wonders. And we need to do the same. And we need to get serious about it. Really serious about it. Because we all are Christians before we are anything else. Can I get one amen? I only asked for one, but anyway. Why don't you guys stand with me, please? And the band, I should have asked for you like 2 seconds ago already. Let's just keep our attention focused on God just for a little while longer. Just whatever, if the Holy Spirit is stirring something inside of you, just focus on that for a moment. Just focus on God. And let's all close our eyes, every single one of us. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. Everyone. There we go. The band can start ministering at the back. I firstly just want to give the opportunity to, is anyone here who wants to get reconciled with Jesus and with their daddy? Tonight is a chance. Tonight is the night where he just wants to lavish all his onto you and into you and over you. So whether you've met him or whether you just want to meet him again tonight, why don't you just, all the eyes are closed, no one will ever know. Why don't you just stick up your hand, just throw it into the air, and we'd love to pray with you tonight. Lord, there's a lot of hands coming up, so just have freedom to put up your hand. Let us meet with Jesus tonight, who's our Savior and our Christ. Thank you for those hands. I'm just going to wait another couple of seconds. Just listen to the music. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Let not your pride be in the place, said Lord, but I don't want to look like I don't know you. No one cares who is going to come to the front tonight. No one does. Only Jesus. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You guys can let your hands go down. A second group we would love to pray for tonight. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, or you feel like you're running on empty, or running half or three quarters, we would love to pray for you just to be in the presence of overflowing again tonight. You'll walk out here and the Holy Spirit will just pour out of overflowing into the world. So if you'd love to be filled with the Holy Spirit again, just throw up your arm. So all the eyes closed. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those hands. I'm going to wait a couple more seconds. If you have a heart's desire to be used by Jesus, you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to do that. Just put up your hand if you want to be filled with the ears. Thank you for all those hands. Thank you, Jesus. And the last group, if you require any healing, physical or emotional, why don't you just stick up your hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Lord, your power. Lord, your word says, Jesus, that you are healer. You are Savior. Through your stripes, Jesus, we are healed, Lord. Through your cross, Jesus, you have given us life and it abundantly, Jesus. Through your blood, you've taken away all condemnation. You have given us freedom. You have taken away all our sins today and forever, Jesus. You've given us freedom, complete freedom, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. All those people responded to the first one, wants to connect with Jesus tonight, just come to my left-hand side to the front. We would just love to pray with you. In the middle, those who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you guys can come to the middle. And then at my right-hand side, my far right, those who need healing, you can all just line up here and God is going to heal you tonight. So everyone who put up their hand, just come to the front. We'd love to pray for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come to the front. No one will stare or laugh. We are just going to love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Facilitators can all come to the front. Grab some oil. And then let's just make a distinction. Who responded to the first altar call for salvation? Let's just make a line here to my left. So this is a clear distinction for that. Because before we're going to pray for the rest, we're all just going to pray together with you guys. There were a lot of hands. So if you're not at the front yet, just come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. You all are here for the first one. First one. Okay, just make a distinction. Okay, guys, let's just wait for the rest to come. Let's worship a bit. Guys, let's sing. Not the second last song. Jesus. Let's all close our eyes and worship. And we're going to open our eyes, and there's going to be a lot more people at the front. Just thank you, Jesus. Final invitation for those who come to the front. Okay, we're just going to pray together with this first group. And we're going to pray out loud, and guys standing here, you can just all open your eyes. You can just look at me. We're gonna pray a prayer. You're just gonna follow afterwards, but we all can pray. Pray together. So let's just stretch out our hands. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are.
Thank you, Jesus, for who you are.
Our Savior, our King.
Savior.
Our Healer, our Redeemer.
Healer.
Lord, tonight we give you all we are.
Tonight.
We commit our lives to you. Jesus, come fill us. Take your rightful place as Lord. Because Lord, from today we want to follow you. Wholeheartedly, Jesus. Father, pour out your Spirit. Come fill us to the place of overflow. Jesus, guide us, lead us. We surrender all we are to you. Lord, we are sinners, but you have forgiven all of that. We are broken, but you have made us heal. We give you our hearts and our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.